This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 36, where I talk with Graybean about her poem, A Dreamer. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, I'm Graybean, and this is my poem, A Dreamer. She hoards little bottles of perfumes on the shelves of her kitchen, each drowning in its own scent. Cinnamon, mint, tulip, basil, berry. Her sets of blue and white china are stored in dusty brown cabinets with windows you can barely see through. All the mirrors in her house are cracked, only held together by tape. She keeps rows and rows of mason jars in crates in her basement, each containing a song no one can hear. She only has photos of maps in her house, places she wants to go, not places she's been, not people she's seen. She's a dreamer in that sense. Her keys to the house are held together by a navy blue ribbon, frayed and tattered. She wakes up every night at 12 o'clock to make herself a warm cup of herbal tea. I know this because she calls me every night at 12 o'clock as she makes herself a warm cup of herbal tea. She collects bent nails, keeps them in a little box under a lamp in the living room. She listens to the music of the night at dawn, dusk, twilight, midnight. Stars are not balls of gas to her. She can slice the moon into shards of shaved ice if she wants. She creates languages for fun. She writes stories of her life no one understands. She reads books upside down, and she cracks her records in half so they'll fit inside her suitcase. She's a dreamer in that sense.
Yay, thank you so much. What was your inspiration for this?
So I think there were three main inspirations behind it. The first one was this picture in my head of like a house on a hill. So I just kind of wanted to explore what kind of person would live in that house. And the second was my grandparents' house. There's some lines in there that come from inspiration from their house. And the third was my grandmother. She recently passed away. So I've been writing a lot of poetry about that and about her and the she in this poem. Like, she was inspiration for that.
I'm so sorry about your grandmother, but I'm glad that you can take inspiration from that, like, really terrible experience and like turn it into something as a way of like healing.
Yeah.
It's so cool though that you had a specific setting in mind. I was going to mention that the perfumes, like the cinnamon and mint and tulip and basil and berry and the dusty brown cabinets and the rows of mason jars, like they remind me of an apothecary in a way.
Yeah. It was kind of like a kitchen in my mind. It's this house of like a quirky lady. And I was just kind of imagining, you know, what would go in there? What would that person collect or have in their house? And so I guess I was just imagining it as kind of an old kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And there are really strong scents associated with this for me as a reader. It's like the cinnamon is such a strong scent, and mint, you can like easily see or picture in your head like what that would smell like. Did you consciously include all of these senses, or did you kind of do unintentionally?
I think it was conscious. Because those are all scents that I like to smell, and I just really like them, so I included them.
Here's a little story. When I was in middle school and high school, my school, or like I was homeschooled, so my like curriculum always had me do these exercises for every class, no matter what class it was, where I'd have to go outside for 10 minutes and just observe, like, what can I see? What can I hear? What can I smell? And that kind of thing. And that definitely really helped me with my writing and adding more like visual and I guess other details to it. So my question is, have you ever done that for your writing? And do you think that it has benefited you?
I personally have not done that. And I find that in my writing, normally the sense of smell is really weak. But my like sight is normally really strong, just because I always have an image of in my head of what I want it to look like. And I can convey that through words easily, but for smell, it's not as easy for me.
And this ties into another one of my questions. How did you create the images? Did you first map them out completely in your head, or did they kind of appear as you wrote about them?
Yeah, I think they appear as I write about them, because I'm just adding a bunch of details to that image.
I also love how she wakes up every night at 12 o'clock to make herself a warm cup of herbal tea. I know this because she calls me every night at 12 o'clock as she makes herself a warm cup of herbal tea. This is such a sweet relationship between the character and the narrator, and it reminds me of a character from a book. Eccentric, but she's always talking to her friends, and she's always like doing weird things but including them in the weirdness.
Yeah. For some reason in my mind, I have this like super romanticized idea of tea. I'm not really sure why, but I just see it as like a really romantic sort of thing. Not that the relationship between this person and the narrator is romantic. It's just, I see tea as like kind of a sweet object. Herbal tea, especially because it's like kind of floral and connects to nature. So that was just like a sweet connection that I could make.
Whenever I think of tea, I think of British things and people. Yeah. And to me, they're like very posh. So I think of tea as like a very posh thing, which I know is kind of like a stereotype to assume, but.
Yeah, I think of that too.
That's where my mind goes. Some more lines. She listens to the music of the wind at dawn, dusk, twilight, midnight. She can slice the moon into shards of shaved ice if she wants. And I like the visual of like slicing the moon into pieces.
For the first part of that, for the music of the wind, that was because when I was writing this poem, I was sitting at my desk where I normally write everything. And I have a window next to me, and there's like a line of bushes that have flowers on it. And sometimes when it's windy, they scratch the window, and I just like the sound of it. And it was kind of windy when I was writing this, so I just incorporated that into it.
I really like the idea of the wind being a form of music. I am facing a window. I'm at my desk too, so I know what it's like to like look out and be like, oh, this cool thing is happening outside my window. I'm going to put in my poem or my writing. And it was just snowing today, actually. Crazy, because it's been in the 70s and like 60s for the past like month, pretty much. So it was a surprise snowstorm, but huge chunks of ice and snow coming down. And it was so beautiful. So definitely going to write about that later. I love like taking inspiration from things that are around me, whether it's like a cup on my desk or a pencil on my desk or snow outside my window, because I feel like it's very, it's something that I know about. You know, a lot of authors say that you should write what you know, because then like it's more true to you in some way, or like you'll have an easier time describing it. So I feel like I sometimes do gravitate towards images that I have experienced and that are like either right in front of me or in recent memory.
Yeah, I think I do that too. Or I take inspiration from that and kind of incorporate it into something else.
Yeah, I feel like it's always a little bit difficult for me to write things that I haven't like specifically experienced or that I haven't experienced in a while, because I didn't feel like the memories are a little bit more faded and I can't really like describe them as easily. Like right now, I'm working on a concert review for my rock and roll class. Very fun. But I watched this live performance on YouTube a week ago and I was terrible at notes. All I wrote was like, iconic. This is amazing. And I'm like, wait, this isn't helping me at all. So now I'm trying to like go back and remember what it was like. My memory of it is so like already gone away from my mind. So now I'm like, how am I going to write about this?
Yeah, I do that a lot too.
So the first problem is that I didn't take good notes. And the second problem is that I can't remember much.
Yeah, I personally really do not like taking notes, even though I love writing, but I find notes so boring. And also, I'd rather have all my attention focused on the thing that I'm watching or reading rather than focusing on writing down notes about it.
Yeah, it feels like so unnatural to like be watching something, but then be like taking notes about it and like trying to describe it. And I feel like I'm just not as present when I'm doing that. And it was actually kind of difficult watching this performance because I feel like I didn't get as much from it as I would like a live performance, a live concert, like in real life, you know, like if I was in the room or outside by the band. So it's difficult to like create those strong senses and images if you're not like directly next to the thing that you're writing about, which ties back into what we were talking about earlier. There's a moral of my story. Because like you can write about music and like a concert, but it's not going to be the same as if you were like actually there.
Yeah. I think that's the thing I miss a lot because of COVID, just like going to live music. My dad loves music a lot and he plays a lot of music for us. And it's just music is kind of a big part of my life, and just not being able to go and physically experience it it's kind of weird.
For sure. I haven't, the last concert I went to was in December of 2019, I think, which seems like it was ages ago, like so long ago. But I had plans to go to more like in the spring and summer of last year, but of course it never happened. So it's disappointing because I feel like I was at the time where like I was so excited to see concerts and I was going to see like any that I could just because like I wanted to. And then it was just like, nope, sorry, you can't. But I can relate to music being a big part of your life because I recently took a break from playing piano, but I had been taking lessons for 12 years. So yeah, it was a part of my life for a while and it was like a part of my identity for so long, but now I'm finally taking a break from it, even though I am doing my rock and roll class at college. But my older brother is really into music too, and my parents are, so it's like always listening to some sort of music.
Yeah, I used to play piano a while ago, but I did not really like it. So my parents let me quit and I have not played in a few years.
I did it for a while and I did like not competitions, but these judges concerts where you'd prepare like two or three songs from memory. And then a panel of judges would like critique it and send you notes back. And that was always really stressful to me. And I get like myself really worked up before and like completely freak out about it. But it doesn't sound fun and it wasn't. But I mean, I did enjoy my lessons because I had really great teachers. More of my notes. She writes stories of her life no one understands. She reads books upside down and she cracks her records in half so they will fit inside her suitcase. I love this like really eccentric kind of no one really understands why she does what she does, but she does it anyway.
Yeah, so the first part that about writing stories of her life, it's kind of inspiration from myself because my grandmother, she grew up in Germany during World War II. So it was like she had a lot of really cool stories about it. And just recently, I've started to get interested in like her past and her childhood and my grandpa's childhood and past, because he grew up in Iran, also during World War II. And they just have like this crazy story and how they met. And after it, it's just so interesting. So I've started to write a book about it. So the stories of her life, that was kind of from that. I just took inspiration from that. And then books upside down. Whenever I think of like quirky people, for some reason, I think of people reading books upside down. I don't know why, but that was from that. And then the part about records, I am really into like retro stuff and I think records are super cool. So I think it was this past Christmas, I asked for a record player and I got one, and then my mom and my little sister bought me three records, and it was just kind of this idea of like records because they're big, so you can't really fit them in any places. So I was just thinking like if you crack them in half, then they could fit.
That's really cool. When I read records, I immediately went to like vintage store, vintage clothes, vintage shoes and purses and stuff. There's actually a really cool, or several really cool vintage stores in Montpelier in Vermont. I always forget when I'm talking to people who aren't from Vermont, they have to say like it's in Vermont. But anyway, in Montpelier, there are a couple of really cool vintage stores, and one of them is like half a music record album store and half like vintage clothes, which is really funky. And I feel like it definitely fit in with this character's vibe.
Yeah, I love vintage stuff, but I've never actually been to a vintage store. I really want to go, but never been.
I have been thrifting for a while now because I love it and it's so much fun. You never know what you're going to find. And I've gone to a couple of like specifically vintage stores, although they're always like really pricey. You can't get anything nice for less than $75. So it has to be a big investment, but it's so much fun to see what you can find in like vintage books, especially. I could go on for hours about how much I love vintage bookstores, but you just walk in and it's like, oh, amazing. And I have a bunch of vintage books that have like, that are signed by people who used to own them, which is the coolest thing ever because it's like, wow, this is like holding a piece of this person's history.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And I have a copy of a poetry collection by E.E. Cummings. I don't know what it's called. I think it might just be like his collected poems or something. But on the inside, someone wrote their own love poem. And it's so amazing. It's in like fountain pen and everything. Wow. It's like the most amazing thing I've ever found, probably.
That is really cool.
And so like things like that, I feel like would definitely fit into this poem and just like collecting things from the past that you can hold on to like in the present.
Yeah.
My other thing about this character is that I feel like I'd be really good friends with her. Like we get along really well. We'd have a lot to talk about. And I feel like that says a lot about how you wrote it, that like people who read it want to be friends with this person. And my follow-up question is, which book characters would you want to be friends with?
Oh, that's hard. I've read so many books that honestly, I'm just gonna have to say Bilbo from The Hobbit because I love him so much. He's awesome. I love how he is so resistant at first, but then he becomes incredible and super important.
That's great. Oh my gosh, this is a really difficult question for me because I feel like I've read so many books, so I can't pick like just one. But I recently read Harry Potter for the first time ever. It took me 17 years, but I finally did it. And it was really great. I think that it'd be fun to talk to Ron, probably. Because I feel like he's so unintentionally funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that book series. I read it like 3 or 4 times, the entire book series. So I have not seen all the movies yet, though.
I saw 5 minutes of the first one, I think, when I was babysitting. So I know like the smallest amount, but I'm excited that I'm finally like reading it because I feel like I kind of pushed it aside for a while when I was like the prime age. I mean, not like you have to be a certain age to read it, but like when I was in middle school, I was like, no, I'm not into fantasy stuff. I'm too cool for that. But now I'm like, this is so cool. Why was I not into it?
Yeah, I love it.
And like, that's another book where like the characters feel like real people. Like you want to be friends with them. You want to like hang out with them. And I was just saying on the last podcast that I am going to try to take the quiz on, I think it's called Pottermore, to see what house I'm in, because I took it a few years ago before I even read the series because my friend forced me to, and I was completely Hufflepuff. But maybe I've changed now. I feel like I'm a lot different than I was then. So
yeah, I don't think I took the Pottermore one. I think it was like another off-brand one. I was mostly Gryffindor, but a little bit of Hufflepuff.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Hufflepuff is a really quirky, creative one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so our questions. So your character is a dreamer. She's a dreamer in this sense and that sense. And what do you think it means to be a dreamer?
So for me, I think it's like to be really imaginative and like to have big dreams and goals, kind of to see the world in a different way than a lot of other people think. I guess to see it as really more beautiful than other people think.
Yeah, like optimistic and see it like as beauty rather than like darkness or whatever.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that dreamers are probably a little bit, I mean, not that this is a bad thing, but a little bit out of touch with reality. You know, like they're kind of in their own dreams, thinking about what they want to do, what they want to accomplish. But I think it's important to have that kind of dreamy aspect to yourself and to like, you know, imagine what you want your life to be like. Because it's
Yeah.
just fun. I mean, it's not practical, but it's fun.
Yeah.
And do you think that you're a dreamer?
Yes, I think I would consider myself a dreamer, yes.
I think so too for me. All right. Now, moving away from your poem, how did you first become interested in writing?
I don't really remember because the when I actually started writing was in first grade. That's when I wrote my first story. But I think I've always loved stories like that in any form, music or movies, books, just anything. And so I guess part of me was like, I'm just bound to like writing because it's creating a story and I've always loved stories. And I think another part of it was my mom. She was an English major and she loves poetry and literature. And she was a big influence in my love for literature and writing.
Oh, that's so awesome. I think it's so important to have someone in your life who like exposes you to writing and literature and poetry and like gets you really passionate about it.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And what inspires you to write poetry?
So I've started writing poetry this past year, actually when I joined Young Writers Project. Before that, it was just all stories. I guess I sort of like after reading a bunch of poems on Young Writers Project, I thought, you know, it seems like there's just a different quality or air to it that writing stories doesn't have. It's kind of, it just felt like a lot of emotion and imagination was condensed into this little package. And I thought that was really interesting. So I wanted to start to explore it. And I did. And now I love it.
That's really great. And a good segue into my next question. How did you discover YWP?
So my mom had, like, we've been, before I joined, we were talking about me maybe subscribing to a writing magazine or something where I could submit my work to, and then read other people's work. And so I looked online for the best like teen writing magazines, and on this one website, YWP came up, and I clicked on the link, and I thought it looked really cool. So I asked my parents about it, and they said yes.
That's really great that you found it through there. I say this all the time, but I'll say it again. I've been on YWP for, it'll be 5 years this November, which is pretty crazy. And it's really changed how I like write and how I view my writing and other people's writing. And it's so cool to have this like place that I feel like if I hadn't joined YWP when I did, or like at all, I wouldn't be the writer that I am today or interested in writing, probably. I mean, I can look back on like when I was in middle school and see all these important like decisions that I made that have turned me into a writer. You know, like before middle school, I did write, but I didn't like seriously consider myself like a writer. But then in 8th grade, I took a high school poetry course, and that was amazing. That really got me interested into poetry. And then around that time, a little bit before I joined YWP, that got me interested in writing. And just like all these little decisions like that were kind of like stepping stones that helped me move on to where I am now. And it's just so cool to see like all these different influences in my life that helped me become the writer that I am today, although that sounds kind of cheesy.
Yeah, I think YWP definitely has shaped me as a writer in the short time I've been on it. It's sort of like an like a creative outlet, I guess, just to share my writing with other writers and see how people like it and also to read other people's and be inspired or learn about writing just by reading other people's work.
That's really great. I will admit I haven't posted anything in quite some time in a couple of months because I've been busy with school, which I know is an excuse that sounds kind of lame, but I really haven't. And I am in my month-long finals right now, so it's getting even worse. But hopefully in the summer I can post some more writing. I'm also taking a creative writing class in the fall, which is both extremely exciting and extremely terrifying because I feel like I'm going to get to it and I'm going to realize, wait, I can't like do this writing thing that I was kind of betting on doing for the rest of my life, which I know is like irrational, but my mind always goes to that like worst case scenario thing.
Yeah.
But I really hope that I'm going to be able to expand more on my like creative writing, fiction, short story side, because I've really been focusing on poetry for a while. And I started writing a short story. I don't know when it was. I think it was in December or January, maybe during my winter break. And it took me like 2 weeks to write 5 sentences. And I was like, if it's going to take me this long to write 5 sentences, it's going to take me the rest of my life to get through a chapter. Like, I'm never going to finish this.
Yeah, I think it is hard to transition from poetry to like short story fiction, just because I feel like in a lot of ways they're really similar, but then in other ways they're wild. Like, it's incredible how different they are, but I love writing both.
Yeah, I used to only exclusively write like fiction, always chapter ones, never get to chapter two, only chapter one. But I had so many ideas and they were always like this kind of romanticized or idealized version of myself, where like I'd be going to Paris on vacation, or like I had all these friends and we go to the mall on the weekend. So it was basically like a Disney Channel original movie that I just write over and over again, which was fun, but I feel like not very deep, not like as serious and sort of pretentious as I want my writing to be now. Like, I'll acknowledge that my writing is getting pretentious. All right, before my brain completely stops working, let's move on to some more questions. Do you ever do character building writing exercises? And I'm asking this because I know a YWP, or I think Fiona Ella, and she posted, this might have been a few years ago, a really cool character like deep dive that goes into a lot of details about characters. And it's like kind of long, but a really great exercise to like learn more and establish your characters. So like, where were they born? What was their childhood like? What were their parents like? And like, what's their personality like? And what key moments happened in high school that changed them or whatever? So do you ever do something kind of similar to that?
Not as deep or detailed as that, but I think I do like ask myself some of those questions, but mostly personality. But I don't really do stuff like that. I kind of just let the character take me where they want to on the page.
I feel like I've done that before, but on a kind of basic level, like name, age, likes, dislikes, strengths, weaknesses, yeah, that kind of thing. But I feel like if I spend too much time on it, then it slows me down and I forget my ideas. I'm like, wait, where is I going to go with this? What was I going to make them do? Who are they going to meet? So I feel like it's kind of better to just start writing and then go back and like add more details kind of as a secondary thing.
Yeah, I also feel like if I do that, then I might feel pressured to include all those details in the writing, and like there's probably details that aren't important at all. So that's kind of why I don't do it, because I'm just worried it's going to become like, it's going to turn into so much information that it's too hard to read.
Yeah, that's true. Now, another question, very important. What books and authors have shaped you as a writer and a human being?
So I think What Is the What by Dave Eggers. I love the book. And it kind of opened my eyes to the war in Sudan and a lot of the refugees there. I mean, I'd read books about it before, but that book really impacted me because I don't know why, but I really like reading stuff like that. And I thought that book was, it was really good. I don't think there's one author that has really shaped me. It's just a, like books, not really one author.
Mm-hmm. I say the same thing. I have too many books on my list to name them, though. I mean, I don't feel like they've really changed that much. So kind of the same thing I say always, like those classics, Wizard of Oz and Voyages of Dr. Dolittle. Love that one. Gosh, what else have I been reading? I haven't been reading that much, so I don't have a lot to say right now, but I'm sure I'll have more once I get more into reading, which is weird because I feel like it's so different from how I used to be. Like in middle school, I'd read like at least a book a day, if not two. So now I'm like, who am I? Or like, it's taken me 2 months to get through like half of a book.
Yeah, it's been taking me a lot longer to read books. And I think that might be because I'm reading a lot of books at a time. And also most of my time is spent writing. Like I'd rather write instead of read.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that I used to be so like horrified by people who read more than one book at once. And I thought it was like atrocious. You could never do that. But now I'm reading like five at the same time and just kind of going through them as I please. And I'm like, this is actually kind of nice. I have a selection. I see the benefits to it now.
Yeah, I actually like reading multiple books at one time because sometimes I get tired of the storyline or the characters. And then I just move to another book and it's like escaping kind of. So I like reading it. I like reading multiple books at one time.
What else have I read recently? I'm trying to think of what I've done. I've been reading a lot of poetry actually for my literature class. We read a lot of Neil Gaiman poems, which is really cool. I haven't read his poems before, but I had actually found one of his books in the Little Free Library like the day before. So I was like, oh, this is so cool. And Linda Paston, I'm not sure how to say her last name. I'm not good with names. But she had a really cool one called, I'm not sure, but it was really cool. And it was kind of like about her daughter growing up and like using the metaphor of her daughter, like the first time that she rode a bike and like riding away from her and the mother trying to like catch up to her and like catch her if she fell. So it was a really beautiful metaphor. And I really liked how she packed so much like emotion and memory into it and like a relatively short poem.
That's really interesting. I've never heard of her before. I don't really read a lot of poetry. I like writing it. I don't really. Well, I mean, I like reading it. I just don't read a lot of it.
Yeah, I don't read that much, but for this class I do. And then on my WP I do. And sometimes in my poetry collections I do. So like maybe 80% of what I read is fiction and 20% is poetry. Maybe more like 70-30, but more like stories and poems. Which is weird since I write more poems than stories. But anyway, the title of the poem is To a Daughter Leaving Home, and fantastic, really amazing. I really like I said, you know, just this metaphor and how it's like, you can take so much from it, even though it seems like so simple at first. And that's, I think, what draws me to poems is certain poems is how like, it's a simple thing that's happening, but you can take so much from it. And the same thing for your poem too. Like, I mean, it's simple things that this character is doing, like reading books and having perfume on a shelf, but like, there's a lot more you can take away from about like who she is as a person and how she interacts with other people.
Yeah, I really like that about poetry too. Like at first glance, it could be really simple, but then when you actually think about it, there's a lot more meaning and emotion in it.
Yeah, and I feel like you can't always do that with fiction. You know, yeah. You can't always like dig deeper because it's kind of like pretty straightforward what it's about. Like these people went to the mall, they went to the movies, blah, blah, blah. But with poetry, it's like, what do the movies symbolize? Like, what's it saying about society? You know, you can really dig in and like find more meaning to it.
I think that drew me to poetry and writing poetry.
Mm-hmm. And one more question. Would you consider writing as a professional career?
Definitely. Yes. I know it's kind of hard to make a living off of, but I would love that. I think that would be so much fun.
I like how quick your answer was. In what way do you think, like writing novels, writing for TV?
I think everything kind of, because I feel like novels take really a long time, but writing for TV might be fun. So I guess just anything.
I'm taking that creative writing class in the fall and also writing for multimedia, which is like for TV and social media and that kind of thing. So that's going to be fun because I've never done screenwriting before. I mean, I wrote a play once, but it wasn't very good. So I'm excited to kind of explore different ways of writing and seeing like, do I like this? Would I want to consider doing this like as a career? Or do I want to just see what happens and not really plan it out? I mean, I'm getting to my senior year in the fall. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. But I'm starting to think like, wait, what do I want to do? Like, I know I want to do writing 100%, but like, what kind of writing? And that's not to say that you have to figure it out by the time you're a certain age or you have to figure it out at all. But I mean, I like to have a plan, so I like to know what I'm doing. All right. Well, one more question. What is the best writing advice that you've ever gotten? And what writing advice would you give to someone else?
So I love musicals. There was this period in 6th or 7th grade where I was super obsessed with them. And I really like Hamilton a lot and Lin-Manuel Miranda. So I actually wrote a letter to Lin-Manuel Miranda and he responded.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was really cool. And he said, because I think I was asking for advice in the letter, and he said, as advice, write that which feels true. And I thought that was a really good piece of advice. So that's the best piece of writing advice I've ever gotten. And I think that's what I would tell other writers. Just write what you want to write and like write what feels good to you.
That is so cool that you heard back from him. Oh my gosh, that must mean like so much.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, whatever writing advice I have is going to be pale in comparison. I think I kind of said the same thing though, that like write what feels true to you and don't write what you think someone else wants to hear. That's the advice that I've gotten a lot recently from like about college essays and like, don't write what you think the admissions people want to hear and read, you know? And that can be applied to any kind of writing. Like, don't write poetry that you think other people are going to want to read. Write what you want to read and what you want to write, you know? And don't think so much about, like, your audience, but more about, like, what do I want to express and how do I want to express it that feels true to who I am and something that's going to help me or support me in some way.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, good advice. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
This has been episode 36 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 37. Bye.